In the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." We could look at numerous scriptures that teach us of the necessity of our having faith in Jesus Christ in order to have hope of eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And we all know John 3:16 that teaches us how that Jesus died for all of us, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So many scriptures teach us of the necessity of faith in Christ for eternal salvation. And Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Well, who is He? We have to believe in who He is. Is He one thing? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do we have to believe that in order for us to not die in our sins, in order for us to have hope of eternal life? Well, certainly we must. Is Jesus creator? Was Jesus born into this world of a virgin? Is Jesus our high priest? And we can continue on with these things. Is He the head of the church, the king of His kingdom? Jesus is all of those things. He is many things. Now, which one of those things that Jesus Christ is can we choose and say, that's the item I'm going to believe in about Jesus Christ and thereby be saved? Can we do that? Can we choose one item, or can we choose two or three? And is it up to us to choose which things we're going to believe about God's Son, Jesus Christ, that He tells us about? Or is it necessary that we believe in who He is and all that He is and everything that the Father teaches us about His Son, Jesus Christ, and who He is? Well, we have to believe all of that. Our subject this morning is not designed to look at all of that here in one thing. But we do want to focus on one aspect of who Christ is that we might not think about so much, and it will fit in somewhat with what we've been, well, more than just somewhat, with what we've studied recently about knowing God's Word and how we do know that God, all the words of this book, or that's the Bible, it was inspired of God. And when we consider that Jesus Christ is a prophet, came as a prophet of God, as well as all the other things that He is, which is a very important aspect of whom Christ was or is, and what we must believe about Him. In the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 18, we have several prophecies about the coming of Christ. And this one is a prophecy that particularly mentions how that Christ was going to come as a prophet of God, and in the manner of Moses. So He would be a prophet and a lawgiver. But that's tied together. Was Moses, the fact that he was a prophet and a lawgiver, were those separate things, or were those things tied together? Well, whose law did Moses give? I mean, when we speak of the law of Moses, was it of Moses himself? When Moses gave commandment, or as it is written by Moses, or Moses said, and we see those phrases in the scriptures over and over again. But how many times does he refer to the law of Moses as the law of God? Lots of times, because that was the law that He gave. Moses didn't give His own law. Moses was a prophet. He was inspired with the words of God, including the words that God gave to the children of Israel as their law. So he was a prophet and a lawgiver. It so happened that much of what God revealed through Moses was the giving of a law in addition to whatever else God instructed him to say to His people. The same is true of Christ. And in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 22, this is what God said through Moses on this occasion. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God, in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord My God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And we particularly focused on the latter part of that passage last week when we were looking at the second of those two tests that God gives for us to apply to all that profess to be prophets of God. Number one, did God bear them witness by signs and wonders and miracles? Number two, did God foretell the, give them knowledge of future events to foretell those things, and then did they come to pass? Well, and that will tell us who was speaking God's word and who was not, the application of those tests. And last week we were focusing on that latter of those tests about the fulfillment of those foretellings of future events that only God can make to happen and bring to pass. Well, that's not our focus this morning, the primary focus in our study. We do read these words again to note the connection between what he was saying about the coming of Christ and that he would be a prophet. Now, when we think of someone being a prophet, what is it that comes to mind, or what is the definition of a prophet? Well, people tend to think of, well, a prophet, somebody who foretells the future. And of course, if it's a prophet of God, then that would come to pass. Well, is that part of the definition or part of what the work of a prophet would be? Well, we can see that mentioned there, and that was an important means by which God would make it known that someone was his prophet, by foretelling future events and then bringing them to pass. But is that the definition of what a prophet is? Well, we find God's definition really in those verses 18 and 19, when he said he was going to raise up a prophet from among the children of Israel that would be like Moses. He says, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak unto them all that I shall command him. And then in verse 19, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name. Now, is that not what a prophet does? Is that not the definition of a prophet? Someone that would be speaking the words that God put in their mouth by his authority. That's what a prophet would do. Now, would that also include foretelling future events by which one would be able to know that that was someone who was a prophet of God and that the words in his mouth were the words of God? Well, yes. But a prophet was someone whom God put his words in their mouth, and they spoke those words to the people. And so that was the case when he was foretelling the coming of Christ, that he would be a prophet like unto Moses. And by the way, that prophecy there in Deuteronomy 18 is also quoted in the New Testament in the book of Acts in chapter 7 and verse 37. So this was a prophecy that was fulfilled by the coming of Christ. And Jesus Christ was a prophet of God. He did speak the words of God. And we see that emphasized over and over again in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John. The first two verses of the Gospel of John, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now that's speaking of Christ, because verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, he was full of truth, which this same book in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus prayed to his Father, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. When he was full of truth, what was he full of? His Father's words. how does this book begin? In the beginning was the Word. I mean, that's a phrase that's used to describe Christ, that he is the Word. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's emphasizing the fact that he came and spoke his Father's words. So the fact that Jesus Christ came as a prophet, is that not an important point about, or important aspect about who Christ is? We can see that from the prophecies and the fulfillment there. So he is the Word, not his own word. He spoke his Father's words, the words of the one that he was with in the beginning, by whom the Father created all things, as he goes on to tell us in verse 3 of John 1. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, this is the first two verses of the book of Hebrews. So it's interesting to see we have a couple of the books of the New Testament that begin with this same point, really, about Christ that we saw in John 1, 1 and 2, now Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Does that not fulfill exactly what Deuteronomy 18, what was prophesied there by Moses, that Christ would come as a prophet, and what John 1 says about him, that he is the Word, and that the Father created all things by him? We see all of that emphasized right here again in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. So the Father spoke unto us in these last days by his Son. Jesus Christ came as a prophet. In John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, John chapter 8, 28 and 29, we can see here in this these verses, again, where Jesus makes the point about where his words came from. And that they were not his, that he only spoke what his Father gave him to speak. John 8, 28 and 29, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Everything that Jesus did, all of his thoughts, words, and actions, everything was pleasing to the Father, was in accordance with his will, and nothing was of himself. Did that also include his words? It did, and Jesus said that as his Father taught me, he spoke those things. He didn't speak of himself. He only spoke his Father's words. Now, later in the same chapter, he was being challenged by these leaders of the Jews who did not believe in him, who had rejected him. Jesus also in verse 44 of this chapter made it very plain spiritually whose children they were. They were of their father, the devil, Jesus said in John 8, 44. And then following that in verses 45 through 47, he said, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Again, what is truth? God's word is truth. Because Jesus told them the truth, told them what his Father had said, they believed him not. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Again, Jesus is making it very plain there that he was only speaking his Father's words, not his own. And they were rejecting the Father's words that he was speaking. When they were rejecting him, they did not believe God's words. And so that's why they did not believe what Christ said and rejected him. And so also in John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50, he lets us know how Jesus did not speak anything of himself, but only his Father's words. John 12, verses 44 through 50. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself. But the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak, And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Could it be any more plain than that? Did Jesus speak anything of himself? Did he do anything of himself? Now, if there was some difference, even if it was a tiny difference, even if it were just a word or two or few, or actions, just very few, that were different or distinct of the Son from the Father, then when we hear Christ and hear or see what he does, how would we know what is of the Father and what is actually of Christ himself? There is no difference, because we would not be able to distinguish that then. But what he says is, when you see me or when you hear me, you're seeing the Father, you're hearing the Father. And why is that? Because there was no difference in his works and in his words from his Father. It was all of the Father. He did nothing and said nothing of himself. So everything we see of Christ, everything we hear of him, we know it was of his Father. And we're seeing the Father and we're hearing the Father when we see and hear the Son. And that is absolutely crucial for us to be able to know then Christ, and by knowing Christ, knowing his Father. In chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 10. And it's interesting to see the points that we're looking at in our study this morning, how much this is particularly emphasized in the Gospel of John. But in John 14 and verse 10, Jesus said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." The works and the words, it was all from his Father, not of himself. So was he a prophet? He was a prophet in that way, that everything he spoke was what the Father gave him to speak. So he meets the very definition of a prophet that the Father gives. That is Christ, his Son. And as a prophet, he also had his Father's witness. As God bore to all of those that he gave his words to, he certainly did with his Son, who was a prophet, yes, but as was foretold there in Deuteronomy 18 that we saw, but also a lawgiver, and not just the giver of a law, but a giver of the everlasting covenant. So how important would it be when God sent his own Son to speak to the world through his very own Son and to give his everlasting covenant through his Son, that those words be confirmed by the Father himself, by his testimony, by these signs and wonders and miracles that his Son did? Was it important, the miraculous works that Christ did that we read about in the Scriptures? That's what proves to us, and without question, that the Son was speaking the Father's words and not his own, and was doing his Father's works. So that, as we see the beginning of his miracles in the Gospel of John in chapter 2, the very first one, when he was in Cana of Galilee and turned the water to wine there, in John chapter 2, verse 11, when he did that miracle, it says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." What produced faith in his disciples? What made them his disciples, where they knew they were following one that the Father sent, and that he was speaking the Father's words and not his own? Well, that beginning of miracles was the proof of that. And then further in verse 23 of the same chapter, he started those miracles in Cana of Galilee, and then he went down to Jerusalem for the feast day. And in verse 23, he was doing miracles in Jerusalem. So it wasn't just for the Galileans, but all these Jews from all over Israel that came there were able to see the miracles that Jesus did. In verse 23, it says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." Again, faith was produced as a result of the people witnessing those miracles that were done, because they recognized that was the power of God. That was the Father's testimony that this man that was among them now was indeed speaking the Father's words. Nicodemus, one of the rulers of the Jews, also was there in Jerusalem at this time, saw that and understood that, believed that. verses 1 and 2 of John 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. There's no other way it could be done. There would be no way that he could be speaking his own words when he's doing those miracles that he was doing. So Nicodemus understood that witness of the Father. And in chapter 5, John chapter 5, verses 31 through 37, Jesus plainly spoke about his Father's witness that he was bearing to him here. John 5, 31 to 37, he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Now he's referring to John the Baptist, as he's going to mention in the next verse there. John testified and told the people, behold the Lamb of God, and prepared the way for them. So John testified that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the anointed one that the Father sent. He was God's Son. That witness was true. And so in verse 33, he says, you sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Now look at verse 34. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John. Now, whose testimony was going to exceed in greatness? That of the one that Jesus said, of all the prophets, there was none greater than John. His Father, our Father in heaven. And that's what he says in verse 36. He says, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You've neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. The Father himself, who sent Christ, bore witness, gave his testimony to his Son by those miracles, those miraculous works that he was doing. So there was the proof. And we could go through the rest. We could spend easily the rest of this morning looking at the examples that are revealed in the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all those miracles that it tells us about that Jesus did there. And that was the Father's witness, all of that. And we're told about much of what he did so that we would know and believe that Christ was speaking his Father's words because he had his Father's witness. And as we saw in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, the Father also foretold things to come through his Son, Jesus Christ, as his prophet. He was his son and also sent as a prophet. And so the Father foretold things through him that when they came to pass, it was further proof that he was speaking the words of God. Because remember, he said, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? If a prophet foretold something and it didn't come to pass, that would show him to be one speaking presumptuously. That is, a false prophet who was lying, but one who foretold what would come when the Father would do that. That was part of how God proved him to be one speaking God's words, because only God could bring those things to pass. Well, back in John chapter 2, starting in verse 13, we can see that this was also a part of what the Father did through his Son to show that he was speaking his words. John chapter 2, starting in verse 13, he says, the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found at the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. That's a prophecy. He was foretelling his death and resurrection from the dead. And in verse 20, then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? He could have. Verse 21 says, but he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So Jesus foretold his death and his resurrection, And that was in part for his disciples' sake and for ours, knowing that he foretold that, just as the other scriptures had by the prophets before him. All of that shows that those prophets and Christ himself was a prophet of God in speaking his words. Those things came to pass, just as the Father said, and he did raise him from the dead on the third day. In John chapter 4, Jesus met a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And in this case, he wasn't telling her things that were going to happen in the future per se, but he was telling her all of these things about her life that he would not have had knowledge of had he not been a prophet of God. And she recognized that too, as he asked her to bring her husband to her, and she said that she did not have a husband. And so then Jesus said in verse 17 of John 4, "Thou hast well said, I have had no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidst thou truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Well, how would Jesus have known all those things about her were he not a prophet? She recognized that, and that's when she brought everybody from the town to hear his words, and when they heard his words, then they also believed in him. There are many examples of this of Christ. John chapter 12, verses 12 through 16 is another. John 12, 12 through 16. It says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him." And of course, it was Jesus that gave instructions for them on that day. So all of this was fulfillment of prophecy concerning Christ, and was part of the proof of those prophets and of Christ that they were speaking God's words. Chapter 13, verses 18 and 19, when he was observing the Passover on his last night on the earth with his disciples in that upper room. In John 13, 18 and 19, Jesus foretold his betrayal that was coming that night. And he says, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his hand against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he." Did the Father foretell things through Christ that were going to happen? And did they happen, every one of them? And is that important? Jesus said so. That's part of how we know that he is who he is. And that included in that, of course, is that he was a prophet of God speaking the Father's words. In the next chapter, in John chapter 14, we see some more of this beginning in verse 19. He's, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So there it is again. He was not speaking his own words. Verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." So once again, he was foretelling these things that would happen: his departure from them, his ascension to heaven, and all that was going to be fulfilled with all of those events. And he told them that, so when it did come to pass, they would believe. And of course, it's also for our sakes. Now, just a couple of scriptures before we close to conclude the study this morning. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, all these things that Jesus said and that the prophets before him foretold of what he would what would happen to him and all the things that he would do, Jesus pointed those things out to his disciples. Now, he had mentioned those things before, but we can read where those things were hidden from them at the time, because it was not the Father's will for them to understand that beforehand. But then after all these things came to pass, we read here in Luke 24, 44 through 48, Jesus said to them, his disciples, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." And that word, that first word understanding, is their mind. So he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Verse 46, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." So he said those words to his disciples, again, showing all those prophecies that were fulfilled by him that he also made. So Jesus and all the other prophets were shown to be prophets by the fulfillment of all that was written of him. Well, that's for our faith, too, in Christ and in all those other prophets. And then John chapter 21, we're only told a small portion of these things that Jesus said and did. The apostle and prophet John, in this Gospel of John, by God's inspiration, wrote this in chapter 21, 24, and 25, the last two verses of the book. We read the first two, and we'll read the last two now. He says, "Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Well, we have only a small portion recorded of what Christ said and did. Enough for us to know who he is. And so in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, it says, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." What we have recorded here of the miracles, the witness of the Father to his Son, the things that he foretold through him that he brought to pass, all of that is for our faith, that we would believe in who he is. He was the Father, he was a prophet sent by the Father, speaking the Father's words, but of course, much more than that, he truly is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And by believing in him, we can have life through his name. And that's the only way that we can have eternal life. This morning is an opportunity for you now, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you believe all that God teaches of his Son, and that through that faith you're ready to confess your faith in him before men at this time and repent and be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins, and to have to be added to his church and to have your name written in heaven and have hope of eternal life. If you're ready to obey his gospel at this time, we're ready to assist you in that obedience so that you can have eternal life. If you are a member of the Lord's body, if you have gone astray from him and need to return, if you need to repent this morning, this is an opportunity for you also. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time, please come now while we stand together and